The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In his preaching, he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. In centuries past, the Feast of the Epiphany on January 6th commemorated three mysteries, three wonderful grace-giving events in the life of Jesus. The first, of course, was the visit of the Magi, the wise men, who were directed by the guidance of the star to find the newborn babe at Bethlehem and to adore him as God and man, the king born in poverty. But there were two other events in the life of Jesus that were always linked to that day: the baptism of the Lord and the first miracle of Jesus performed at Cana. Because both of these events are also manifestations of the light of God. At Cana, his disciples came to believe in him because they saw the water changed, turned into wine. And at the baptism of the Lord, we find the first revelation of God, the Holy Trinity. This is the first time in the Scriptures when we see the three persons of the Trinity show themselves in some way. The Son in the water of the Jordan, the voice of the Father on high, and the presence of the Holy Spirit figured by the image of the dove over his head. This is how St. Mark begins his Gospel. St. Mark doesn't speak about the Annunciation or about the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. He starts by speaking about the ministry of St. John the Baptist, and this is the first moment then in Mark's Gospel when Jesus appears. So that from the very beginning, St. Mark wants to show us Jesus in all his hidden power and glory as Son of God, the Beloved, who does the will of God and in whom God is well pleased. But the baptism of Christ is not the same as our baptism. And that's very important for you to understand. The fathers of the church tell us that Jesus wasn't made holy by the waters of the Jordan. He made water holy for all future baptisms. He doesn't go into the water to have his sins taken away. He goes into the water almost to take the sins of the whole world onto himself in this first moment in which he is consecrating himself to us, to our salvation. A few weeks ago, I explained to you that St. John, coming from a priestly family, his father Zachary being a temple priest, was well familiar with the Jewish practice of the mikveh, the ceremonial bath that Jewish men would take before presenting themselves before the Lord in the temple in clean clothing to offer a sacrifice. John took that practice and adopted it and adapted it to his needs as prophet of the Lord. Instead of it taking place just in Jerusalem, in one of the buildings attached to the temple, he put it out into the rivers and streams of Israel, so that everyone who was destined to meet the Lord might avail themselves of that moment of inner conversion, of turning away from their sins, and of being made ready to soon meet the Messiah, who in himself is the new temple, the new law, the new priest, and the new sacrifice. That is who Jesus is for Israel and for the whole world. The sins of the people who came to John will find their forgiveness through the sacrifice of the cross, because it's by the cross that our sins are forgiven. So Jesus presents himself among the crowd, and John knows who Jesus is and that he is the one whom he was waiting for. "I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandal," John had said. So when Jesus comes before him, as we read in another gospel, John says, "I am the one who should be baptized by you." But Jesus says, "Let us fulfill all these things for the sake of righteousness." In other words, there's a purpose to this you don't understand. Just follow. And John was content to follow because, as we hear in today's gospel, he had already said, "He must increase, I must decrease." So Jesus steps into the water to take upon himself, as it were, the burdens of the whole world and of all men and women as yet unborn. After this, as you know, he will go out into the desert to begin those 40 days of fasting and spiritual struggle that we commemorate every year during Lent. But first, there is this marvelous gift made to us, the manifestation of the Trinity. Now, this day is meant for all of us to recall our baptism. For some, it's a real memory because we were baptized as adults. For others, it is a gift that was given to us in our earliest childhood or infancy through the faith of our parents. But for all of us, somewhere along the line and course of our life, our baptism became something real, powerful, and personal to us. The seed of divine life began to grow. And it is because of that first gift of divine life that you and I are here today. Everything else that happens to us in our spiritual life is the unfolding of that baptismal grace. And so we give thanks to God for this great gift he has entrusted to his church, that we might share in the divine life of Jesus, that we might become heirs of the kingdom of heaven, not simply with our sins forgiven. We are sanctified. We are deified, divinized. We share in divine life. And it is our role throughout the course of our lives then to ponder that great mystery and to realize what it means to be child of God, a son or daughter of God Most High. In the Old Testament, the Jews thought of themselves as servants of the Lord. And that is an expression of humility. Mary calls herself the handmaid of the Lord. But Jesus raises us far above that. He calls us friends and children of his heavenly Father. That's what we glory in, being able to say, "Our Father, my Father, who art in heaven. So today marks, in another way, the end of the Christmas season. We now speak of Jesus in his adulthood, in his public ministry, in his life on earth, in his teachings and in his miracles. Teachings and miracles that express the compassion, the kindness of God, and his divine power. Teachings and miracles that both reveal to us the face of God in his mercy and who we really are. Jesus strips away the confusion and the falsehoods of sin so that you can know who you are, how you were made by God, with what dignity, with what a calling, so that you and I can live our lives on earth not deluded and disappointed by the things of this world that crave our attention, but rather Jesus reveals to us that there's another craving inside of us, a craving, a need, a desire for absolute truth and absolute goodness, and that's what we've been made for. And sin will always disappoint. It will never satisfy us. And even the most beautiful things of this world will never satisfy us. They're not enough. We've been created for something more. And only when we live the life that God offers us will we have that fulfillment, satisfaction, happiness. And then all the other joys of this world fall into place. They don't disappear. They fall into place. We see them and understand them and experience them as God intended. And so the hand of the Creator and the love of the Creator is seen in everything. And we have great reason then to give him praise and thanks in this world and in the next. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.